This is Vince McCauley.
This is Coach Creon of the Surrey Scorchers.
This is Scott Melvin, CEO and co-founder of Buzz 16.
This is Rodney Glasgow for the Sheffield Sharks.
This is Kennedy Leonard from the London Lions.
And you're now listening.
And you're listening.
And you're listening.
And you're listening.
To the BBL show.
To the BBL show.
To the BBL show.
To the BBL show.
Enjoy the BBL show.
This is episode 13 of the Summer Road Trip here at the BBL Show. I am Jay Marriott. He is Drew Lasker. This week, we go north of the border and catch up with Glasgow Rocks big man, Ali Fraser. With finance behind them, a revolution is beginning, and we get to hear all about it here at the show. How you doing, Mr. Lasker?
Jay, what it do, man? Speaking of road trip, literally just got off one, and I see on Twitter from time to time, you know, some of our listeners say that they listen to our show while they're in the car. And if you're listening right now, I don't envy you if you're sitting in traffic. Who else hates traffic? I literally just left your hometown, Jay, which is Plymouth, 12 o'clock. Sat-nav said I was supposed to arrive at my house at 6:30 p.m., and I just strolled into my house 20 minutes ago, nearly 10 o'clock p.m., so, oh man, I just hate traffic, man. But anyways, what's going on with you, man? How was your weekend, man? You know what? You always have a great time with your family, man. Every time I see on the socials, man, I love seeing it. So what did the Marriotts get up to this weekend?
Man, actually pretty quiet, to be honest.
Wow.
I like to try and squeeze a lot in, but we're trying to get ready for a quick little trip to Disneyland Paris at the end of the week. So we've kept it pretty low key and packing and trying to get ready to rumble on that trip.
Nice.
So yeah, little quick trip before the madness. Everybody knows come September, life is over.
Yes, sir. So, and this is the makeup trip, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, got pushed back because of passport issues. So we got to squeeze it in. I got to try and de-stress for 3 days. And, you know, what better way than to be in the insanity of Disneyland Paris, right?
Just line those pockets up, my friend.
I'm very ready. They're hurting already. But anyway, you don't want to hear about my trip to Disneyland. You want to know all about British basketball. So let's get the show started with a rather quiet Marriott Minute. Okay, Bristol Flyers announced promotion of three youth products into the BBL squad with returning player Pascoe Landolfi and additions Nassim Lajimi and Jaden Edwards. The Manchester Giants continue to build hype, adding big man William Lee to their roster. The former Rider brings some high-flying antics and even more experience if they needed it. BBL Daily asking for people's top fours. Whoa there, fella. Let's see how this all plays out before you get my thoughts, because I definitely know that social media will be alive once we make our predictions. And the summer ride comes to an end for Sam Nita and Hoops Fix, who will have an unforgettable experience finishing with Clapham Common for a 5-on-5 cup and 1-on-1 king and queen of the trenches. He certainly had a summer to remember and also given a summer to remember for British basketball. Let's hope that long may that continue. And that's this week's Marriott Minute. I'm always watching.
Nice roundup, my friend, as usual. And shout out to BBL Daily, a new account that was just started this summer and just keeping us all updated with the signings. And I love the ambition, but as Jay mentioned in his minute, pump your brakes. It's a little bit too early to be picking a top four. Let's let the teams complete the roster first, because we know when you put that out there in the atmosphere, the fans, the listeners, they don't forget. So like Jay said, I'm going to wait and preserve my picks until a couple of more teams wrap up their signings. Well, Jay, as we move on to hot takes, you know, it has been pretty quiet. This was a quick turnaround to episode 13, but there was one thing that I did pick up on the socials, and I was busy in Plymouth dancing away at, you know, getting my wedding season on. But every time I glanced at my timeline, I saw you going back and forth with the guys at Below the Rim. So just kind of catch us and the listeners up on exactly what you guys, I'm assuming, I don't know if you guys was arguing, fighting or what, but inform us.
let's call it a friendly beef. That's what I think it is.
A friendly beef.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But I think it was a friendly beef that what got it all started. So we got Pabs hot under the collar because I said that Gino Crandell was a generational talent.
Right.
And, you know, we know all in good fun. Okay. All in good fun, guys. We know that they hunt in packs, you know. So when one comes out, you got to be ready. 3, 4. We don't know how many of them there are. They're like ninjas. They're just going to pop out all over the place. And, you know, I had to defend myself a little bit because he was just irked with the fact that I had used generational and felt like I had used it in the wrong context, which I 100% did not. Because for me, Gino Crandell was a generational talent. I have been around. I've been watching the BBL and been watching the high-flying days of the Division One all the way back to Budweiser League days. And there is nobody quite like Gino Crandell. You know, his skill set is something that I haven't seen before. And that doesn't mean that I haven't seen great players. That doesn't mean that there's not legends of the league that deserve more kudos, probably. But I think they were looking at this whole 2-year timeline. And then they were getting confused with my use of the NBA. So I was talking about the NBA and I was talking about the GOAT conversation and other conversations that happen in the league. They're subjective, right? So my opinion on Gino Crandell is that he is a generational talent. I cannot go back to any other time since I've been watching basketball in this league and find somebody that is quite like him. He is unique in every way to me.
Well, first of all, I love the camaraderie by the guys. As you mentioned, they come out in packs. And I think you actually even coined them a hashtag because that's what you do. You coin General Gino. So that's your skill set as you name drop. You create these awesome names. So make sure you get a cut out of that. But I apologize for not being there for you. So, I mean, I premise my comments by saying this.
I'm a big boy.
You rarely see me in Twitter beefs or just debates because if I can't fully commit to a debate, then I don't debate at all. Cause a lot of times I'm just kind of ducking in and out of Twitter. It's very rare that I'm going to be there for a long period of time. So there's a lot of times that I want to jump in on topics, but I know I got to jump to the next thing just like you. So I just, you know, keep my 2 cents to myself. So are you saying that they were saying that he's not a generational talent?
I think the point is, and what I will preface this by saying, I think this is great fun because this is what's going to happen in the league now. And I've noticed right across the league, there's more comments than ever, right? So, you know, I've started seeing Anthony Rowe now is active on Twitter, like about all the sign-ins and giving his
love
thoughts
it
on that. I wonder who started that, you know? But, you know, I think it's great. But for me, I think that he was caught up in the fact that he felt like there was other, you know, legends in the game. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't coining him a legend. I was saying that he was a generational talent. And those 2 years that we've got to see that particular player, I think he is a player that maybe even slipped between the cracks of even potentially an NBA look. You know, I just think that, you know, the one thing that we'll probably talk about, which is his weakness, is probably his shooting. If he could shoot the ball, then that guy is probably a bona fide league player because, you know, it's not very often you see somebody with those kind of street handles. You know, he's very instinctive in the way that he plays. And then coming back in year two and turning those instinctive plays into actually taking over. And, you know, we've got to put this into context. He did this against a Megabucks team of London Lions over 2 seasons.
That is true.
You know, he quietened that down over 2 seasons. So, you know, I totally get what they were trying to say. But for me, I was just merely saying that I think he is a one in a million player. Like he's somebody we haven't seen before in this league.
Yeah. And I think Dave Owens kind of defined it pretty perfectly on Twitter. And again, this was just me seeing this in a drive-by moment, but I think he said something like there's a difference between the most talented players and, you know, BBL greats. And I totally agree with that because let's just use someone like LeBron James, for example. If he came to the BBL for 1 season, so what are you going to say that he's not great just because he didn't have a long BBL career? So, you know, I get what you where you're coming from, Jay. You're just trying to categorize it, and totally agree. Geno Crandell, in the 17 years I've been in the league, covering the league, he's definitely top 10 in talent, top five. I mean, I would have to really go back and think, but yeah, I totally agree. Now, is he an all-time BBL great GOAT? Now that's why I would probably veer off, because you know you need a little bit of longevity in order to be in those conversations. But talent wise, absolutely, man. So we're on the same page. But yeah, you're totally right. Like these are healthy debates that the league needs. You see it with every other league all the time.
Yeah, I think one thing I'd add into that situation, and they corrected it at the end, so kudos to those guys, you know, Wolfpack. Woo-hoo! but the one thing that always annoys me is, like, it's subjective, right? So that's my opinion. That's how I feel about the situation. Talent, impact, all there for me. Happy days. But people never come at you with their opinion. We noticed that.
Yes.
In the last two seasons.
Yes.
People will not turn around and say, they'll go, oh, he's definitely not the MVP. Who is the MVP then? Or, oh, he's definitely not a who is the generational talent then? Let's get into this. And man, when they started throwing names out, and Pabs can really throw some names out. He's got some great names and some great stories. Then we started getting into something really exciting. And then we started it. So we just got to get past that.
And I'm a name drop here because you just rejigged my memory off this summer when we were naming the top five players from Rob Paternostro's testimonial game, right? And Matthew Bryan of Manning, who we know is a listener on the show, to go back to your point, Jay, I asked him 3, 4, 5 times, okay, give me your five. And guess what? Crickets. So yes, if you're going to join a debate, then give us your side, give us your opinion. We will not hold you accountable, or we might. But yeah, it's all good. I mean, it's just a friendly debate, and it's great for the league. So, you know, much love to those guys over there. Keep doing what you guys are doing. And that wraps up Hot Takes. And let's move closer to our guest, Ali Frazier. And before we bring him in the room, let's educate you on a little history lesson of the big fella with the Lasker Look Back. Ali Frazier attended Maine University, where he had a solid college career. After averaging 13 points per game during his junior year, he decided to turn pro, taking his talents to Pro A Germany. 13 points in 25 minutes a game earned him an opportunity to play around the world across Germany, Spain, France, and the Leicester Riders. With the career off the court that he shares with his professional basketball ambition, it's safe to say that Ali is now settled in Glasgow and content with being a core piece in the Rocks' bright future. Speaking of the future, not only could it be brighter for the Rocks, but it seems to be coming together personally and privately for Ali Frazier. In a season which he saw a career high in points, he seems to be hitting his stride. To take advantage of Ali's prime, the Rocks signed 5 new Americans in the month of August and went all in with a new owner. Could the month get any better? Well, on August 13th, he celebrated his 30th birthday and doubled down by marrying the love of his life shortly after. After honeymooning in America and literally just arriving back in the country, let's check in and see how healthy and motivated the big fella is during this next chapter of his life and career. And that is your Lasker Look Back.
And great look back, as always, Mr. Lasker. Let's get him in the room. The big man, newlywed, Ali Frazier. Welcome to the show, Ali, and congratulations, newlywed, fresh off honeymoon. And when I say fresh, he is literally just a couple hours in, and what does he do? He's doing more basketball work again. What can we say?
Well, thanks for the invite. You know, I couldn't miss this, guys.
Yeah, man, we really appreciate the sacrifice. Literally, again, as you guys say, Ali just rolled up back up north. And so is shout out to Hannah, who is allowing us to borrow him for a couple of minutes. So congratulations to you and your wife, and welcome to the BBL show.
Thank you very much.
Mate, awesome. Well, let's get started, and you know, let's talk a little bit about yourself. Obviously, you know, last season very much centered around you, and you know, unfortunately, going down with the injury, it did derail the season. You know, the guys tried to adjust to playing without you, but just couldn't quite do enough to get it over the line. You know, how are you doing? Give us an update, and how are you looking going into the new season?
Yeah, so I'm good. I had surgery in February, March, but fully peeled, back to normal, everything's fine now. But, you know, I had good sort of 3 months where I couldn't do much, and then I've been gradually building back up to playing basketball again. So I think we start pre-season the next week or two. And, yeah, I'm excited to get going. It was such a long break. You know, I'm used to, you know, the summers are fine. They're nice, couple of months off. But, you know, February to now has been a long time. And, I mean, I was still going and watching all the games last year. It was tough to watch and not be able to play, especially when I know I could have been contributing to, you know, potentially helping the playoffs or helping us finish up higher. So, yeah, I'm excited to get going again.
From my recollection, I don't remember you ever having a major injury, and Jay and I obviously played a long time and dealt with injuries. And so what was the toughest part for you in this process of trying to bounce back from, you know, a pretty serious injury?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the toughest part was before I actually decided I was having surgery, because I was, you know, I actually got injured in probably like December, you know, in the end of November, start of December, and I just kind of played through it till February, and just kind of making that decision to, you know, what if I can't keep doing this, I'm not practicing, you know, I'm literally going doing a shoot around before a game and then try to play, and then I can't, you know, I can't walk the next day kind of thing. So that was tough, and it's, I mean, just getting my mind right in terms of, you know, making sure I'm doing my rehab properly. You know, post-surgery, I was, you know, I had a pin in my foot, so I couldn't do anything literally for 3 months. So just trying, you know, stay in some kind of shape with what little stuff I could do. And then once I was able to, you know, do things again, not try to overdo it, and just, you know, that gradual build-up, getting back to full strength. But no, it's, everything's all good now, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt, you know, sadly, last season, I think you're right in what you said. I think you would have finished higher. I think you would have made a little bit more noise in the playoffs as well. You know, they had to almost at times go to a bit of small ball. There was some real talent there. And as exciting as it is coming into next season, were you a little bit disappointed to see a few of those players go? Because there was some real talent within that
squad. Yeah, for sure. I mean, from top to bottom, everyone was talented. You know, Jordan Johnson at times was the best point guard in the league. You know, when he was on form, he was one of the best point guards, if not the best. JC Hillsman shooting the lights out, you know, unbelievable 3-point shooter. Jordan Harris, crazy athlete, you know, doing all sorts of stuff that, you know, I mean, I've not seen in the league in a while. And, you know, and then we had a lot of issues, you know, other injuries. You know, we had Terrell go down injured right when he was finding his sort of form. And then Vance came in, you know, he was playing a tough role. It's tough to come in late. But, you know, all these guys, unbelievably talented, and that's without even mentioning, you know, we've obviously still got Garrett, Johnny, Fraser Malcolm there. So, I mean, everyone did their part, you know, towards the end of the season.
Well, you guys bring your core back, the names you just mentioned, and you guys have retooled. I mean, you brought in a fresh set of Americans, Jeremiah Bailey, Darian Adams, David Sloan, Patrick Tappe, and Princeton Onwis, who is actually from my hometown, Katy, Texas, who I've known for a very long time. So really proud of him. But what do you know about these guys? What if Gareth shared to you what they can bring to your core?
I mean, not much, to be honest. Gareth kind of plays things close to the chest with his recruitment. You know, he was asked to, you know, send a couple of links to some highlight tapes here or there. But I always like to go into the season with kind of a blank slate and wait and see when guys get here, see what they're like, because you guys will know as well as anyone else that, you know, whatever someone's done in college or whatever else, and whatever other teams have played in, it doesn't really mean much until they get off the plane and, you know, they're in practice and here. And the BBL can be tough to adjust to for some guys. But on paper, I think Gareth's done an amazing job recruiting. Top to bottom, looks like he's, I mean, with the limited, you know, resources he has, I think he's put together a great squad. And I think, I hope we can, you know, compete for something this year and, you know, try to finish in that top half of the table.
One thing for sure, you talked about the plane, and you know, one thing that hasn't changed since I retired is that they do tend to shrink a little bit on the plane. You know, so you see those 6'9s coming off, a little 6'7", 6'6".
Yes, sir.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, going off of last season, you have to be optimistic that Gareth knows exactly what he's doing in terms of recruiting, and that he's a thorough guy. I mean, having him down in Plymouth with me, you know, there was no doubt that he was going to go into coaching. Like, he was a super intelligent guy, picked things up super, super quick. You know, so I'm excited for you going into this season. Tell us a little bit, you know, how much do you know about this new investment, this new takeover? Obviously, the way that it shapes looks really, really exciting for the North, and, you know, looks like it does come off the back of this 777 growth. So, you know, what do you kind of know, and what's your take on the new owner?
So, I don't know much, to be honest. I'm not really in the loop and all that stuff. One thing I'll say is Duncan, the owner, the former owner now, can't say enough good things about him. You know, he did a lot for me and a lot for the team when he was there. But, you know, it's never bad to have, you know, sort of fresh outlook on things. And with the way the league's going, with all the investment coming in, you look at all these teams who are, you know, they've got money coming in, they're, you know, great signings, the league's improving. So that's what you want. You want that investment coming through. And it can only be a good thing. In terms of what that actually means on court or facility-wise or anything like that, I have no idea at this point. I'm sure I'll find out as soon as the season starts, you know, when we meet the new owners. But it can only really be a good thing. I think having the join-up between the WBBL and the BBL team is going to be a big shift as well, which is good. I think that's really going to get things sort of streamlined up here in Scotland, and you know, you want to support both sides of it.
Speaking of that, I'm just reading a quote to piggyback off of Jay of where the direction the league is going, and I quote, "We have been clear in our commitment to build a purpose-built leading-edge arena that will provide a platform for this club and our WBBL club, Caledonia Gladiators." Just talk about a little bit about how important is it for the Glasgow Rocks to get its own facility?
It's unbelievably important. You know, we're trying to juggle schedules around, you know, the typical basketball issues, badminton coming in. You know, we can't get all hires at certain times and things like that. We've got guys who have other things going on, whether it's studying, working, you know, like Fraser Malcolm's a teacher part-time, I work full-time. So we're trying to juggle that with training times and stuff. So that's, you know, just the tip of the iceberg in terms of having our own arena. You know, but then if you look into it a bit deeper, you know, you get the access to, you know, income streams that we didn't have from the Emirates. The cost of putting on a game is significantly lower. We can do other things out with that. You know, it's a huge thing to get for the club to try and grow. And if they're committed to doing that, that's great. I know there was an announcement about, it was already in the works, I guess, for Easter House. I'm not sure where that stands now with the new ownership, but and no matter what, as long as there's plans for a sort of purpose-built arena, it can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously a great start and a sensible start to be there when you're looking around the league and you look at places like Newcastle and Leicester, and obviously the excitement of Sheffield just around the corner as well. You have to surmise when you look at this Caledonia team and you know, the experience that they brought in with the coach and just the players that they're bringing in as well. You have to surmise that they're very serious about putting finances into that group as well. So, you know, that's exciting for you guys as Glasgow Rocks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, it's important, I think, to have some sort of unity between the WBBL and BBL teams. And, you know, whereas before they were maybe more of a sort of funnel for younger Scottish players to get a chance to play in a pro league, I think it seems, looking at what they're doing in the WBBL, they're trying to really, you know, do something next year and try to, you know, compete, which is good. And I hope that trickles across to the men's side. I mean, obviously, it's quite fresh. It's just happened with Duncan selling it and them taking over. So we'll see how that impacts us this season. But maybe next season we see the real sort of impact of it.
Let's just get back to on-court performance and in particular for you, of where you expect, what expectations do you have for the performance side? I just remember when I came in the league in 2005, the Scottish Rocks at the time were always, you know, runners up to Newcastle and known as one of those big time clubs, and obviously gone through a transition two seasons ago when Garrett took over. There was no expectations because of limited resources. I think it's fair to say, particular to the playoff run, you guys overachieved. But now it's year three for Garrett. So what are the expectations for you in this team next year?
I mean, if you just base off last year, I think without injuries, we potentially are competing at least one final. You know, we may have a better chance in the playoffs last year. We probably finish in that top four, top five spot last year without injuries. I mean, obviously, that's a bit of speculation, but we were on track to do that. So I think this year it's just try to grow from there. And, you know, I think Gareth's got a sort of... We're a bit 2 years removed from sort of all the COVID issues and things. So he's got a bit more of a clean shot at it this year where he can really put what his stamp on it and get what he wants. You know, he was obviously happy with last year with the caveat of injuries. But I think he knows he wants guys that play offense and defense. I mean, obviously, you can look at the numbers and see defensively last year we struggled at times. And he wants guys that can shoot the ball, which is what he's recruited. So I think this year, the aim is always to win something. But being realistic about it, finishing in that top four, top five, and then, you know, making a final and hopefully having a chance to win something.
Is that something that Gareth's like pretty vocal about as well in terms of that ambition and that expectation, you know, because it was so tough on him in the first season. I think he handled himself fantastically. And then this kind of excitement and buzz of last season. Obviously, it's frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating for you as a player that sometimes you can't keep that core together. You know, like that's the thing is you've kept the core of Scottish. But if you could keep those American players just a little while longer, it would make a bigger difference. But is he that vocal and that confident with you guys that you should be aiming for a trophy?
I mean, I think it would be odd if he wasn't. You know, you want to be confident in for him and his recruitment and for him and the players that he's brought in. And like you say, it'd be good to keep a core together. But at the same time, you want guys to go on and have good careers elsewhere. So it's not as if he's, you know, he wants to keep guys here when they have great opportunities elsewhere. So... it's tough every year rebuilding, getting the guys in, but I think Gareth's shown last year that he can do that, he can get players in, and I hope this year, you know, we have that chance. Yeah.
And just paint the picture for us of how tough it really was during this COVID transition, because I spoke to Gareth a couple of times offline and we've heard rumors in regards to, you know, not having access to the weight room, the gym. So just kind of paint the picture during the COVID time, because obviously Scotland had stricter restrictions than England. So just paint the picture for us.
Yes, I mean, obviously I wasn't around day to day for that year, but from talking to Johnny and Fraser, it was, you know, there's some crazy things where we were allowed to practice down in Leicester like normal. They were in there, you know, non-contact practice and things like that. Like you said, no weight room, no access to S&C, no, you know, just Gareth and the players. You know, in terms of the actual budgeting and bringing players in, the ability to bring imports in, Gareth didn't really have the ability to bring Americans until later on in the season. So, I mean, it was tough for them, I'm sure. And, you know, the results obviously showed that. And I think now 2 years removed, it's good that Gareth's, you know, been given that sort of chance to show that, you know, obviously without those restrictions, he's a good basketball coach and he can, you know, put together a good team.
What was it? So if we look back, I really want to talk a little bit about that Ryder situation, because what always fascinates me is obviously the last 2 years in terms of fighting Goliath, they seem to have won that battle. And, you know, there's some question marks going into this season that they built the team around General Gino, and, you know, sadly he's gone on to other things. But what did you take from that experience that you were able to take back with Gareth that you think is going to help that club move forward? Because, you know, culturally, they seem to get stuff awfully.
Yeah, I mean, they're just professional. That's the best word to describe it. They do everything the right way. Obviously, Gino going away is a big loss for them this year, but the way they run things, I'm sure they'll be able to, you know, fill the gaps where they need to, and other guys will step up. But it's not even just on court, you know. S&C, they've got a great program for that. You know, guys are in there lifting, like proper lifting programs, getting shots up, you know, all the time. People get a rebound for you, you're getting treatment after every practice. It's just a really, really well-run organization. And then Rob's there making sure everything is running well, the basketball side of things. I can't say enough good things about it. My time down there, it really was the way to run a basketball team.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I mean, you know, finally from me, that we've kind of been touching on the main topic all summer is the direction the league is going. And I'm interested to get perspectives like yourself, someone that's been around the league a long time. How do you feel about where the league is going?
I mean, I think it's going in the right direction for sure. You know, the salary cap being removed obviously removes some of the parity between teams. So bigger budget teams are going to make those bigger signs, but it needs to be competitive. You know, you need to set the bar high so that the teams that are a little bit, you know, lagging behind have to, you know, try and catch up to that. And you look at the signings London are making, Manchester, Leicester, obviously they're always there, always good. You know, you've got Newcastle trying to retail. Everyone's making good signings, and it can only be a good thing for the product on the court. There's nothing bad about that at all. And yeah, like I said, if it impacts the results in some of the games initially, then so be it. But you need to start, you know, the league's on the right trajectory, I think. And you can see with the Rocksters, with us getting the investment in now, other teams are going the same way. It's all looking up for the BBL, in my opinion.
Let's finish with, you know, just focusing on yourself going into pre-season. You know, you've had a nice little break in terms of a honeymoon. Like you said, it's been a really long time out. What's your kind of aims and goals during pre-season? Because I would imagine, like, one of the hardest things is going to be pacing yourself. You know, you've been out of the game for a little while. You're going to be able to get back in the rhythm again. It's trying to hold that back and build it the right way.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, normally over the summer, you know, I get most players are probably the same. By the end of the season, I'm ready for a break. And then you get those couple of months, you know, okay, I'm kind of excited to play again. You know, I've had even longer of a break, so I'm really excited to get back on court playing. But the good thing is I don't feel any pressure from Gareth or from anyone at the Rocks. If, you know, if I have a day where, you know, okay, my foot is bothering me a little bit, there's no issues with me, you know, relaxing for that sort of stuff. But I'm just excited for everyone to get in, to get back on court and to see what we can put together this year. I think it's going to be a good year. At least I hope it's going to be. And I'm excited to get back to playing.
Well, we're excited to follow the Rocks. Like we mentioned earlier, you guys brought in some exciting Americans along with yourself coming back and the Scottish core that you have. So exciting times up there, new ownership, a lot going on. So we're excited to follow and see how the Rocks shape up this year. And so you'll be able to, like we always do, Jay and I, is we'll be able to keep the fans engaged and keep them up to date, everything that's happening up north. So thanks for your time, Adam. We really appreciate it. Tell Hannah, thank you so much for letting us borrow you, my man.
Well, dude, thank you for having me. And, you know, I appreciate what you guys do on the show. It's good to listen to every week. Thank you.
One thing I will say to you, man, is you better get on that yoga and that longevity, because if there's some money there, man, you want to hold in a couple more years. Right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Appreciate the tip.
Hey. Love it. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, guys, you know where to find us. Same place, same time, every week here on the show.
The show.
The show.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the BBO Show. The BBO Show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your hosts, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBO on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events, and fan interaction. Until next time. Thank you.